MZTV.
Did you hear the one about the guy who goes into his doctor and he says, "Go ahead, doctor, tell me the truth. Give it to me straight." The doctor says, "Well, I'm afraid there is no cure, Ralph, for what you have." Ralph says, "Doctor, this is terrible news. Like, how bad is it?" Doctor said, "I gave you 10. Ralph says, "10? Like, what do you want? 10 months? 10 weeks? Doctor says, "9. 8. 7. Sorry. Well, you know, always somebody worse off than yourself. Welcome to the show. This is Martin Sender. Happy to have you with me. I cannot thank you enough, those of you who generously contributed to my expenses in Peru for the upcoming surgery. This is the most tightly knit family there can be, the most loving, the most caring. I mean, I'm just floored and humbled and thankful to God. And you remember what I said on the video when I talked about this whole thing, and I talked about the option of going to Peru instead of doing the normal thing and trying to find a surgeon here, which wasn't working. And it was, "Let the peace of God be arbitrating in your hearts." The common versions say, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And I know that peace of God when I feel it. And it has, you've confirmed that this was the right decision. This is the right decision. So as I say to you, always thank you from the bottom of my heart. We are a family and we do take care of each other. It's a beautiful thing. I'm a writer, I'm a man of words, and yet I find myself at times like this running out of words. So thanks to all of you who offered me your thoughts, your prayers, all the great comments on yesterday's show. I appreciate it. I am fortified. I really feel fortified to go to Peru. I mean, I'm starting to feel fearless about it, really. You've made me feel so good about it, so loved, so protected, so cared for, that I'm just walking. Well, no, I'm not walking to Peru. I'm going to run to Peru. Don't put it past me. Yeah, you got that Darien Gap to deal with, though. Once you get through Central America, that's kind of rough. Or is the Darien Gap before you get to Central America? Don't worry, I'm not going to run to Peru. But I do feel like I'm fortified. And it's God who is doing this, but he uses human beings. I mean, he uses his son because he's absolutely invisible and inaudible. And his son, of course, is the image of the invisible God. But his son hasn't shown up lately. It's been 2,000 years since anyone's seen him. But the spirit of his son operates in us as members of the body of Christ. You know, I could start talking again about 2 Corinthians 5, is that we are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. I meant to tell you this. I do have a topic today, but Monday's video, you all left such great comments, and somebody said, "Martin, even though you were flat," this person recognized it. I'm sure all of you recognize, because you folks know me. You know me. I can't hide very well. A Sunday night, last Sunday, I had somewhat, I would call it, a nervous breakdown. There were four or five things that happened all at once that really knocked me for a loop. And for 2 hours, I was in a really strange state. I set myself apart and I had to time travel back to my childhood. And I started imagining things in my room, trying to find comfort. I think the year I went back to in my time traveling mind was like 1968. And anything like to escape the things that God was doing, the things that were happening. And in this state I was in, I didn't care about the cancer anymore, but I didn't care about doing a show anymore. I had to drop everything. It's like I dropped everything. It's like I realized as I go through life, I carry so many burdens. Even knowing God, and even knowing that He's in charge of everything, it's like I carry things. And I'm always trying to do the right thing. And people have told me over the years, Martin, you need to give yourself a break. Go on vacation, let loose, cut loose, or do something. And, you know, I just can't. I don't know how. I'm not really a type A. That's what I don't understand. I'm like an A minus or something. But for the first time in literally years, I thought there's not going to be a show tomorrow. I just can't do it. I can't do it. And that is absolutely not like me because the show goes on always. So I went to bed at like 10 o'clock and thinking still in this state that I almost felt like free, liberated, like I was floating and I was not responsible for anything anymore and all burdens had come off of me and all I had to do was sleep. That was my only job, was to sleep. And so I went to sleep and I slept fairly well. I woke up though and feeling a little bit better. I said, well, I have to make a show. I woke up at 4 o'clock, 4 in the morning. God woke me up at 4. But I was fighting God and I fought Him for 2 hours and I stalled. I stalled for 2 hours. I was answering email or watching videos or doing something, just putting off. And then I said, I need to deliver a show to the saints. And I looked in my phone for hopefully to find a recent note that I made. You know me, I often make notes when I'm running. And I found that this note on the conciliation of the world, like how easy it would be, easier for the world to be conciliated to God, to be at peace with God, if they knew how at peace He was with them. And then I said, I'll just talk about that. I'll just talk about that somehow, some way. And I turned the camera on and I was very flat. I mean, that's the first video in years that I did not even edit. I didn't even watch it. I have not watched it. Very unusual. And your comments were just like, it's incredible. It happens almost every time that I feel weak, every time I feel like I'm a mess and I can't deliver and God delivers through me. It tells me over and over again, it's not the messenger, it's the message. And your responses to that Monday video were, oh, this is the greatest truth ever. This is so meaningful to me. The timing of this message is perfect. And you just went on and on. And I'm like, oh, God is a miracle worker, an absolute miracle worker. And I've recovered since then. And that's also because of you. So thank you very much for everything you do for me, and I will continue to serve you by the grace of God. If you have not subscribed to my website, please do so, because if I'm incapacitated at the hospital, maybe if I can't make videos, I'll write something. I'll write a couple paragraphs on something, and my sister Kelly will send it out as an email. My sister Kelly at headquarters. And so, but you won't get that unless you're subscribed to my homepage, to martinsenter.com. So just go to martinsenter.com. Do it now so you stay connected. We can stay connected. And this is also helpful if something happens with YouTube, if my videos ever go down, God forbid. But so just go to martinsenter.com and then scroll down a little bit over to the right. You see sign up. There's a, and you get free gifts. You get my report, What is a Believer, Soon to Become a Book. There's only one in there. I just stuttered. It's not What is a Believer, it's What is a Believer. But you get the report I wrote in the year 2000, and it's Soon to Become a Book. So please sign up so we can stay in touch if I can't make videos. But as I told you, I'm going to try to make videos. I am ready to go to Peru. Thanks to you. You remember I was telling you that my wife, it's so great to just talk about my wife, Maria. Now, we made those monkey videos. Like you saw a little clip. That was a little clip from a little film we made called Elephant Trouble. And this Bobo is quite a character. He's always getting into trouble. He's always thinking crazy thoughts. He has a very rich imagination. And in this episode, I'm going to link it to you. I'm going to link you to it is actually what I'm going to do. So look down here for a link to Elephant Trouble. This is one of the Bobo videos. We've made about 5 or 6 of them, and we want to make more, and we want to maybe launch it sometime for a channel for kids. Anyway, Maria and I work so good together. It's so fun. She is hilarious. Her role is to play like she represents the audience, like how they're responding to Bobo. You will see exactly what I mean. So watch Elephant Trouble, and I would love to read your comments on that. So thank you for that. Neil Christian from, I think it's okay to mention Neil's name, sent me a beautiful email. He lives down in New Zealand. And this is such a profound thought about what God is preparing for us and why God is putting us through the things he is putting us through. And Neil put this in such a way that I had never thought of it before. It continuously amazes me how every member of the body of Christ has his or her own sparkle, his or her own spark, light, life. And sometimes you think, and I've told people this, remember, I've tried to inspire people to make videos and to start blogs. And the common argument against it is people say, it's all been said before, Martin, there's nothing new under the sun. Yes, no, yes, that's true, but it hasn't been said by you yet. It hasn't been said by you yet. And you are an individual and you have a unique perspective. And listen to this. Martin, have you ever pondered why God loves the world and why he sent his son to die? Is it as simple as this? It's not Christianity or religion or theology. Rather, it's an act of sovereign love towards a living, pulsing world filled with his marvelous creation. Hang on, listen to this. For his purpose, his delight, but in the end, to share the benefits with creation, us, after we have traveled the yellow brick road. Yeah, some yellow brick road. The Wicked Witch of the West is at every corner, it seems, sometimes, doesn't it? Or the monkeys are landing. I read somewhere that I was, you know, me with Wizard of Oz. The monkeys, they used windshield wiper motors for the monkey wings when they swooped down and took Dorothy away. Terrifying. One of the most terrifying scenes in the film. Neil goes on. He is responsible for us. His nature is love. Just that. He is responsible for us. God and Christ are responsible for us. All creation came out of Christ. Okay, Christ came out of God. All creation came out of Christ. We know that. All is out of God. All is through Christ. And therefore, God and Christ are responsible for what they brought into existence. He is responsible for us. Just those 5 words by themselves can make a week worth of shows on that. He is responsible for us. His nature is love. And how many times have I been thankful for that? You ever get this nightmare thought, this really stupid thought, and I shouldn't even say it. I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to plant some idea in your head. But it's the kind of thing where you have this worst thought you could ever think that it's all some big trick or a big joke. And that God really is not, his nature is not love, but it is. And this is great. It's better than great. Great is such a weak word. I can't believe I said it. What? I can't think of a word. His nature is love. And his love is we know that it is. Because look at families. Look at how he takes care of the sparrows. Sometimes they die, yes. And Kelly told me the other day that a bird flew into her. And my sister loves animals. I mean, I do too, but she just crazy about them, and a bird flew into her glass sliding door in her backyard and just devastated her. And I mean, just death, death. And yet, God takes care of his creation up until the time that they're not supposed to live anymore. Sorry. Hopefully I'll edit all that out. His nature is love. But no, I'm going to have to leave it in because of what's going to finish here. Okay. I'm in act two now. When I get to act three, you'll see why I'm going to leave that in. Everything God does is an act of sovereign love towards a living, pulsing world. Yes. Filled with his marvelous creation for his purpose, his delight. I'm repeating this, but this is so good. But in the end, to share the benefits. In the end, not doing it now, but he's going to do it. Share the benefits with creation after we've traveled the yellow brick road. He is responsible for us. His nature is love. And his love is the unfaltering glue that requires him. This is a bold sentence, Neil. That God's love requires him. God's love has backed him into a corner. Not that he's resistant to it, but it's completely in keeping with his nature. Love, it's completely in keeping with his nature that because he loves us, it requires him to give back to us. Love requires him to requite us for what we have gone through here. That was me. Back to Neil. His love is the unfaltering glue that requires him to give back to us. He can't remove himself from us because we came out of him. We're a part of him, and he's connected with us. And his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is also connected with us, and they cannot remove themselves from us. They can't. Why? Because love is the unfaltering glue. The unfaltering glue. I wish I'd put those two words together. I don't know if anyone ever in the history of the English language has put unfaltering and glue next to each other. The unfaltering glue, and applied it to the love of God for his creation to the extent that he cannot. There are certain things God cannot do. It's true. God cannot lie. God cannot contradict himself. And here's another thing. Here's another thing. He cannot remove himself from us. He cannot leave us. He is passionate about us. We are earthen vessels of flesh, and he knows that. He knows how weak he has made us. He knows how flawed he has made us. We are earthen vessels of flesh, classed as sheep. That's true. Paul mentions that in Romans chapter 8. As sheep for the slaughter, it seems some days, placed into a world surrounded by hidden, evil, spiritual, celestial forces. I just described two of them, the Wicked Witch of the West and the Flying Monkeys. But no, I'm sorry, this is no time for joking here. He's placed us, earthen vessels of flesh, classed as sheep, into a world surrounded by hidden, evil, spiritual, celestial forces and locked with consequential laws of sowing and reaping, and then to live in this bubble of existence he's placed us in, to live in this bubble with a default sinful nature and a nagging conscience. Neil finishes this sentence. These are just some of the reasons why God can't keep his eyes off of us. God cannot keep, this is so comforting, God can't keep his eyes off us because we are so weak, and he knows we're weak because he made us that way, and he's putting us through these trials that we all have to go through, myself, you, we all have to go through these certain trials, and he can't let us go because we came out of him. He's responsible for us. He is responsible for us, and it's his character that is forever blemished if we go astray and stay astray. He is responsible for us. This is so good. And in the end, he's going to share, this is coming, share the benefits with us after we've trodden this yellow brick road. Neil finishes with this paragraph. For us, what a load to carry around. But wait, there's more. God grants us limited knowledge and makes us work. He gives us some knowledge, but it is limited for sure.
and
makes us work by the sweat of our brows through sickness and health, famine and pestilence, riches and poverty, ugliness and beauty, betrayal and loyalty, marriage and divorce. The scales of life seem so unfair. It's all so predatory and vengeful. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. And he does this to us for his good pleasure. He subjects creation, not willingly, but in frustration. That is, we're not willing for it. We were thrust here, not of our own will, but of his will. And we're frustrated almost every day. And it all seems quite unjust, Neil says. But this is why I think, Neil said, this is why I think he loves the world. He is taking ownership for the world he has created. Remember, he bought the whole world to get his special people. He's going to get everybody in the end, but he bought the whole world in order to do it, in order to procure his special people, the members of the body of Christ, us. Listen to this. This is the crescendo. This is Act 3 here. But this is why I think he loves the world. He is taking ownership for the world he has created, and he wants us to know this. He has promised to, when I read this part, this got to me. He has promised to prepare a place. This was the promise Jesus made to his disciples. Where I go, you cannot now come. But in my Father's house are many rooms, and I prepared a place for you. Likewise, we also have a place among the celestials. A specific place being, is that Paul says, has been reserved in the heavens for you. Let me continue with Neil. He has promised to prepare a place, many mansions. For what? I believe he will repay us handsomely, each and every one of us, for what he has put us through. He has put us through all this. He has put you through what you have been through and are going through. He has put me through what I have been through and am going through. He has done this, but he is responsible for it. He holds himself responsible for it, and love requires him to requite us, to give us everything, to reward our labors and our Yellow Brick Road experience with the kingdom, with Oz, with treasures unseen, treasures unknown, treasures unimagined. He will repay us handsomely, each and every one of us, for what he has put us through. To me, this is how I would want to treat my children as an earthly father. And there it is. He ends so simply and beautifully. This is what I would do for my children as an earthly father. Of course. Why? Because they came from you. Your children came from you, and you are tied to them. And even if you blow it as a parent, you still know that somewhere deep inside that they're yours. And the thing that, well, it's the conscience that bothers some people about maybe how they raise their families. But let's transfer this quickly to God. Now, God is love. God is love. That's his nature. Can't change it. And love, again, I love the word Neil used, bold word, requires him to not be able to take his eyes off of us. To me, this is how I would want to treat my children as an earthly father. He ends with this quote from Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. This is such a simple verse from Luke, and yet it is a verse that we don't often focus on or concentrate on, but we should. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? What we would consider worthless birds, and yet one fell in my sister Kelly's backyard, and it did not fall apart from God. He knows when the sparrow falls. Also, not one of them is forgotten by God. That's so beautiful. Not one is forgotten. Not one trial of a sparrow is forgotten. So certainly, how attentive is he to our trials? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. hair. Who cares how many hairs you have? God does. Do you think I've thought once about how many hairs are on my head as I've gone through this trial? This trial is so big to me. I'm thinking all these thoughts on this travel that's coming up tomorrow. And I haven't given a thought to, I wonder how many hairs are on my head. Yet God cares for that. So is he not going to care for the greater thing? If he cares for sparrows, is he not going to care for the human beings? It's just so absurd to think that we could be forgotten, or that God has set this pot to boiling and left it, like he's not attending to it. But you do feel that way sometimes, don't you? Like, God, where are you? Where are you? Oh, he is here with us. And he has given us a token of his spirit. And it's that spirit that causes us to read words like Neil has written to me and that I share with you, and to rejoice in it. It causes us to rejoice in each other, and the bond that you and I share. And we're going to get through this life together with these very high thoughts. And these are all true. It's all true. The things that God has prepared for us, the glories, the bliss, the joy, the pleasures, he's going to more than make up for what we're going through today.